The economy is growing. We hear the numbers all the time, but it's not necessarily growing for the people who are still growing into their adult lives. The millennial generation, born between 1980 and 2000 or so, has gotten a reputation as a generation that is often still living at home and depending upon parents for financial support well into adulthood. It's not just anecdotal. There's plenty of research to support it. Country Financial, seller of insurance and other financial instruments, surveyed people across the country and found there is indeed a greater reliance upon family for millennials. Richard Lucas is a Country Financial agency manager with information about the survey results in the country and in Oregon as well. Richard, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me. Good morning.
So give us a sense of what the methodology was here, what you went out looking for.
Yeah, you know, what we were trying to do is, well, you know, our mission statement is to be the best provider of financial security in America. So what we were trying to do is just get a sense for, yes, the economy is going. We see every day a lot of times that the stock market is going up, unemployment's going down. But is that truly the case with every level of generations? And so what we found out was that, you know, a lot of millennials are struggling, and they're struggling because they can't pay for, you know, rents and increasing healthcare costs and just kind of basic things like even just groceries and gas. They're really struggling with that because, you know, many people are employed, so that's correct, but the wages that they're making is just not enough to cover some of their basic expenses.
So has this something you have seen a fair amount in your career or through the life of Country Financial itself? I'm just curious to know if this is an anomaly or if this is something that has happened before.
So I think that this is something that has happened in the past, but I think the biggest difference is that, you know, now with the access to information, it feels like when I was growing up, we were also struggling to pay for things in the past. But I feel like with so much access to information, people are able to see very readily that there are issues like this, and they're able to, you know, whether it's from their phone or whether it's from the internet, and all of a sudden it's blaring and glaring how many issues there are with trying to take care of some of the real basic parts of becoming, you know, so-called adult, which is just taking care of yourself financially.
So your company sells insurance and other financial tools. Is the index just a screening of your customers?
No, it was a screening of customers across the board. We did over about 1,000. We used a third-party company that did it, and they interviewed and polled over 1,000 folks across the country. And again, we just wanted to get a sense of what was going on out there.
Yeah, I should point out that the pollster partner was GFK, which does have a pretty good reputation among pollsters around the country. So do you have any particular bents for Oregon to tell us about?
Any what? I'm sorry.
Any particular angles on this for Oregon, for example, or California?
Yeah. So what we found is that about 45% of Oregonians, who are these millennials, have received some sort or a form of financial assistance from their parents or guardians or family members since turning 21. And so, and of those, 28% receive money on a monthly basis. So it's interesting because if you think about the fact that that almost half of these millennials are receiving some sort of form of assistance, and then you start asking the questions, well, what are they getting the money for? And we have found that a majority of it is for, you know, things like cell phones, but it's the other big chunks of this was really just groceries and gas, and 80% of that was to pay for rent and for housing. So, you know, the young people are needing help from loved ones to be able to do some of these things.
But as you just indicated, there's a bit of a scale here. So there are those people, it sounds like, who, I mean, if they're getting any form of financial assistance, even if, like, they stayed on their parents' phone plan, but they pay for everything else, that would still include them in this category?
That's correct, yeah. So, you know, it does open that up to a broad part. But, you know, it feels like, you know, back maybe even before my generation, you turned 18 and that was like the that indicator. You are now responsible for everything. But now it's like you turn 18 and, man, you still are going to need help for really some of those real basic things. And there's lots of things you can do if that is the case, is you stay at home a little bit longer, or maybe you decide you want to cut back on some expenses. I mean, there's lots of things that here at Country Financial, for our clients, we're going to start educating you on taking some real simple steps to figuring out what you can do to help you with these things.
Richard Lucas is our guest. He's with Country Financial. He's an agency manager, and we're talking about the recent survey that Country Financial took that indicates that people still rely on parents to help with housing, mobile phones, gas, groceries, and health insurance. Join the conversation on the exchange. Give us your thoughts about whether you are supporting a child in this situation or whether you are the child who is still taking money from parents because you need to. We need to hear individual stories here to help flesh this out. Join us by phone at 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760, or send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. So not just a broad range of circumstances, Richard, but also a broad range of ages. I mean, if you're born in 1980, you're going to be 38 years old this year, if you're not already. Is there a change with time? In other words, the older you are in the millennial generation, is there less dependence? Is it a pretty straight line, or is it a bit wiggly?
I think it's a bit wiggly. It's really obviously very circumstantial based, but I'll give you an example. I even have a relative of mine who is in her early 40s. She is single, and she has been trying for many years to save to buy her own place, and it got to the point where she just decided, I'm going to move back home. And she's in her early 40s, and she moved back home. And what that allowed her to do is that money she was spending, which was, over $1,000 every single month into an apartment, she's able to start putting that money away and eventually is hoping to purchase her own place. So, it kind of depends on where you're at in that cycle, but it's affecting people who are even outside of that millennial range.
Okay, so older than millennial range, because she would certainly be in that group.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting because I know that there's some stuff in the material that you sent out with the survey indicating that that you're certainly advocating for people to go ahead and get some savings set up so that they can get enough money for a down payment at some point. But two issues potentially that I can see. The number one is that your parents are probably going to expect some help with the bills, and the rent and that sort of thing. And the other one is that particularly as you get to the more expensive parts of Oregon, the Portlands, the Bends, and the Ashlands, it's really hard to save enough money for a down payment, isn't it?
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. And so kind of to your first point, like in this example of a family member that I used, so she was saving literally, I believe she was paying $1,300 a month or something like that for an apartment. And so you are correct in the sense that, she is contributing a little bit to the parents, but she's able to take a big chunk of that and put that toward a savings plan that's going to allow her to hopefully get a down payment on a place soon. But the other thing, too, is that, if you're going to be staying at home, you have to kind of change and give up some things. So an example being, it's like, if you are a daily latte drinker and you want to get up every day and you go to Starbucks, you drop, $8 to $10. Well, if you're in a bind like this, how about just once or twice a week deciding I'm not going to buy that latte? And I'm going to put that toward my savings, So you start adding these things up, and you can actually start getting to some of those down payments in a quicker way.
And how long have you been a financial advisor yourself?
So I've been 12 years.
12 years. Okay. So I was going to ask over that time if you've noticed that the list of necessities seems to lengthen with age.
It's funny. I think that I don't know if the length of necessities has changed too much, but I can tell you that it feels like the priorities have changed a little bit. So, years ago, people, the cell phone has become the central thing that is so important. And it's funny because, if I had to talk to and I'm not just saying millennials, I'm talking virtually most people, if you said, hey, what's the one thing you could not live without, many people would probably say that cell phone. So I think that, you know, when you're dealing with millennials especially, you know, there's probably the checklist or that priority list of what's most important in their lives has probably shifted over the years.
Right. Okay. So, but yeah, so not everybody requires the latte too. But that can help. So that does add up over time. I mean, this is an interesting thing to look at with saving. And I just wonder, obviously if people are having to get help from their parents, they're probably not saving much, if anything at all, are they?
Oh, you know, I mean, that's what the hope is, right? I mean, it's like those parents who have these adult children, the hope is that they're not just living there like they are 14 or 15 and expecting the parents to take care of everything while they still spend everything that they earn. Again, as I said earlier, unemployment is low, so people are working. It's just that the money that they're bringing in is not enough. So you've got to do some other things other than just the dollars in from employment. You have to change your habits a little bit, and it can be difficult. I mean, we always talk about, you know, you create a plan. What is the dollar amount that you're trying to reach? If it is buying a house, or if it is saving up enough for a deposit to get into your own apartment, create a budget, you know, and stick to it. Sometimes we call it a spending plan because budget seems like a four-letter word for some folks. So, creating a plan and look through your life, your daily life, and figure out what are some things where I can cut. I mean, you know, the latte is one example, but let's say that you have a TV provider, whether it's one of the dish companies or whether it's a cable company, and you don't need 100 million channels. I mean, you know, Jeffrey, there's like probably a channel right now that's just showing somebody welding. I swear to you, there's probably
you've seen the welding channel.
There's a welding channel. I'm sure there is. But if you're not into welding, maybe you don't need that. And so check and see if there's packages that you can eliminate, and you could save yourself significant money on a monthly basis. And all of that goes toward that plan.
I'm surprised we haven't gotten the phone calls yet from the coffee companies and the cable companies, because there's two places you indicated that people can save some money. We're talking to Richard Lucas, who's an agency manager with Country Financial, about a survey that the company did to look at how people are doing as they enter adulthood and the fact that they're still requiring some help from family. 45% require some form of financial assistance. 28% are getting it monthly. You can join the conversation on the exchange. Share your own story as either person who's paying out or person who is taking in. 800-838-3760 to join the conversation by phone, or you can send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. So the situation you were just describing reminds me of what gets said just before every session of the Oregon legislature, which is you have one party generally saying, we don't have an income problem, we have a spending problem. And that's what you're saying is the issue with a lot of younger people, is they don't realize there are places you can trim.
Yeah, no question about it. And the thing is that sometimes when people, you know, we talk to our customers and we say, hey, you know, let's work together. Let's develop this budget. And then you start going through it and you start helping them look at each line. And they go, you know, they will literally say, oh, well, that's only going to save me, you know, $10 a week. And then you take out the calendar and you start, the calculator, and you start adding that stuff up. And you go, okay, well, you know, over the course of the year, you know, that's $300 or $400. I mean, that stuff, when you add that with other areas, other line items, you start trimming here, trimming here, and trimming here. And next thing you know, now, you know, you're saving several thousands of dollars. And so that's really what it is. It's you have to create a plan, and you have to be disciplined enough to be able to make some practical trade-offs.
Let's take a call here in just a moment, and actually, I'm not ready for that call yet. But let me ask you one other thing about the material provided, which is about attitudes. This is an interesting thing that the people who responded to the survey, the younger people, the millennials in the survey, said that they don't believe they should have complete financial independence until age 25 or later.
I know, right? Yeah, and it's because they kind of feel that, from what we could gather, is the fact that adulthood in their minds really kind of doesn't start until then, because of the simple fact that things are so expensive. And so as a 21-year-old trying to get a job that's paying, you know, minimum wage, it's almost like, hey, the deck is stacked against us. What do you expect? And so, yes, of course, we've got the outliers and those who are like ready to rock and roll right from the beginning. But many of the millennials are struggling in that regard. And the other thing too that we're finding is that that millennials often look at things not so much in a dollars and cents way. They look at it more in how does it impact? How does it impact the environment? How does it impact the country, their city, whatever it is? They tend to really want to look at things in a different way as opposed to, hey, you know, how much money does this cost or how much money am I making?
Let's take that call now. Here is Mike in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with our guest from Country Financial.
Hello, I kind of actually hit upon what I was going to talk about right before I came on, but I was going to state that me and my sister actually make it a bit of a joke since she is right before the millennials start and I am a millennial. We make it a joke that we actually look for job postings that require a degree, require experience, and then only pay $11 an hour. And we are pretty successful at doing this on a regular basis. I just wanted to have his input on the fact that how are we supposed to save if the job market requires college degrees and everything else, but is not willing to pay? And some of these are, you know, tradable skills.
Sure. So you got the degree, you got the debt, but you don't get the income for it. Okay. Thanks for that, Mike. Appreciate it. Richard Lucas, your thoughts?
Yeah, so that is a great point, and that is part of why the delaying of the so-called adulthood is the issue, is that, as I'd mentioned, people are working and there are opportunities out there, but they're just not making enough. So the only thing that I can say is that if you are in one of those situations where you have this money, this 11 or 12 bucks an hour, and you're trying to be able to pay for just basic things, that you have to do your best to try and save whatever you can, and even if it is a small amount. And you know, going through and making that budget and figuring out every place where you can go, listen, instead of me doing this, I'm going to take that money and put it into this. That's really about all you can do to be able to do that savings, because unfortunately there's not, you know, if you're unable to be able to find that those jobs that are going to be paying that higher amount, the money that you are making, you have to be as creative as possible and as strict as possible at putting as much as you can aside.
Yeah, we've established years hence since, the days when you could walk out of high school and go into a great middle-class job in America are pretty much behind us. So you do require,
totally.
Yeah, more studying and all that stuff. And later in life, it looks like you'll be able to cut the financial ties to parents, which is, in fact, what showed up in this survey put out by Country Financial. Richard Lucas is an agency manager for the company, and he's been our guest on The Exchange. Richard, thanks for the information and for joining us to talk about it.
Not a problem. You have a great day.
You too.